Welcome back to Small Biz Survival. Today we're talking to Katie McCaskey, and her blog is called Urban Escapee. So, Katie, you grew up in a small town. Tell us what your hometown is, where you came from.
Yes, hi. Thank you for having me on today. I grew up in a small town just southwest of Washington, D.C., called Stanton, Virginia. My family's been here for many generations, so it definitely felt like home
And
growing up.
what's the approximate population there?
About 22,000.
Okay, so kind of a bigger small town.
Right.
And so where did you end up moving to for your big city adventure?
Well, I actually moved away when I was a kid. I moved away when I was 11, and my parents moved to the Midwest, where I lived in a slightly larger small city. And then eventually, after college and so forth, I lived in Los Angeles, Sydney, Australia, and finally New York City. So my travels took me around from Virginia to the Midwest, to the West Coast, to far away, and then back to New York.
So you must be really, really old.
I'm under 40, so no.
But you have moved a lot of times. You've experienced a lot of different places.
Yes, happily. And I think I've certainly enjoyed every place that I've lived in and certainly benefited from each place and their individual personalities.
So what triggered the move home?
Well, I moved back to Stanton in 2008. If we can all go back in the time machine, then the housing bubble was bubbling. And at that point, my then boyfriend and I were really serious about purchasing a home. So we came down to Stanton for a weekend to house sit for an uncle and thought, wow, it was the first time I'd really been back to Stanton in over 20 years. And I just thought, wow, this is such a cool place. It's so walkable, it's got so much interesting stuff in such a small scale. And so we purchased a home and literally on the we took the train down from the city, and on the way back that Monday morning when he went to work, he lost his job along with several other people. And that was we didn't realize it at the time, but that was really kind of a canary in the coal mine sort of situation where, oh my gosh, this is a forecast of things to come. So we had just purchased our first home and thought, well, since he's lost his job and my job at the time was virtual, I telecommuted, we went ahead and made the move and came down here. And that was a really nice transition. And initially, when we got here, I still had my job and I was telecommuting. So, in talking about what we wanted to do for work, we had the option. He worked for an architect, an architectural firm, and he could have done that same work here, but he would have had to commute probably an hour or more to do that sort of work. And so, as we were talking, series of events happened. We met up with another couple who was going to open up a small grocery store. And so, long story short, we thought, wow, this is really great to have a neighborhood grocery store. It's something that we certainly enjoyed in our life in New York. Why don't we pair up with this couple and we could do that? And that would be so great for ourselves and in just our neighborhood, but also, until we could figure out something to do, we could be the passive minority partners and he could help out around the shop. So that's really where the story begins.
So it goes from there. Tell us about the business then.
Sure. Well, the business actually had quite a few ups and downs. And I won't get into all those details, but let me just say that it takes a certain level of optimism and naivete to go into business with people you don't know. And that turned out not to be such a great match. However, in the end, we were able to separate our partnership and we took control of the business itself. And just literally about the time we were able to kind of take full control and ownership of the business, then I lost my job because now we're right in the middle of the beginnings of the Great Recession. So then here we were, two people that had kind of an expensive hobby business that had suddenly turned into our main gig, And through that experience, it was definitely very hard. And I think any business owner could appreciate the challenges of any new business starting up in such a tough environment. But it certainly toughened us up.
And so, how long have you been in business now?
Well, happily, we just passed our 3-year mark, going on 3.5 actually, and we were also able to move to a new location and expand. So now we have a patio beer garden, and it's finally gotten the legs and doing what it needs to be doing. I mean, it was definitely on life support there for a while, but I'm happy to say that it's much stronger and we're very optimistic about moving forward with it.
Okay, so tell us the name of the business and what all it does, because beer garden is like a new idea for me here.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's called George Bowers Grocery, and it's named after a grocer that was actually in our old location, a grocer from New York City who came down to Stanton shortly after the Civil War. And he had a grocery store here for about 25 years. Of course, everybody that's alive today, nobody is still alive that would remember the original, but there was a great photograph of George outside of his original location. And this was just by coincidence around the corner from our house. And so when we found out that the space was once a grocery store, we thought, well, we just have to use George's name again. And so what we are, we're kind of a neighborhood grocery. We offer local foods, beer, cheese, you know, easy edibles, nothing extraordinarily fancy, but also we kind of would describe it as gourmet convenience, perhaps.
Okay. I'm going to have to convince my local grocery store to put in a beer garden because I love this idea.
Yeah. So the our current location, which is just down the street, was once an old schoolhouse. And so the schoolhouse had a little recess area in the front for kids playing kickball and so forth. And it's a really nice location right on the main street of downtown. And so we have potted plants and pots and serve craft beer and cheese plates and, you know, just very casual fare, deli sandwiches sorts of things.
So your business is very much a part of the community.
Yes, I'm actually really pleased about that. I feel that not just my business here, but certainly our business is one of many that contributes to a sense of identity and place that's unique from other locations around the country. And that's really gratifying, not only because it asserts our city as someplace unique, but also suggests that there are individuals here. And I think a lot of cities, unfortunately, through suburban sprawl and kind of this U.S. of average, you know, it's kind of lacking. That personality is lacking. And I think our regional identities, I mean, I think that's really important for all of us to still retain this idea that we're not just this, you know, stamped out like every other place sort of thing.
So tell me a little bit about your entrepreneurial background. You mentioned in your manifesto that you are part of Generation Cell.
Mm-hmm.
And so were you the lemonade stand kind of kid, or how did this happen?
In hindsight, absolutely. I think my first business was in seventh grade. I sold, I made what I called locker stockers, which were these things where you could hold your makeup and your pencils to girls to sell, you know, put in their lockers. But I come from an entrepreneurial background. My father had his own businesses, certainly a history of farming and kind of that independent spirit. And frankly, through my professional life as a creative person, I've always been a freelance independent contractor, or primarily so. And so I think that background also gave me the perspective of being able to sell and being able to articulate what I offer, which is certainly helpful if you're running a business.
So I referred to your manifesto. You run a blog called Urban Escapee. The tagline I love, which is ditch the commute, build a business, and revitalize Main Street.
Thank you.
And you put out a wonderful manifesto, just 20 pages of beautiful photos and great thoughts that says, this is the Micropolitan Manifesto, how to radically revitalize America, or how to discover purpose and prosperity in unexpected geography. And that fits right in with the whole small biz survival theory, which is that small towns are wonderful centers of interesting and unusual businesses. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about how you define micropolitan. It has a U.S. Census Bureau kind of definition, but I think you have a more human definition of it.
Yes. Well, thanks. I definitely reject like the official definition, which is very dry and statistical, and it just really measures how many people are in a location. I would like to reclaim the word as both micro and cosmopolitan. And how I see that is really with rural urbanism, our more traditional layout and grid, which is very walkable and human scale. And ironically, having lived in larger cities, it wasn't until I left the city that I really began to understand how much I valued urbanism, especially on the small scale. And I think, unfortunately, that is not anything that really people are talking about. And yet there's so much opportunity for people of all ages to kind of redefine that space, own it again proudly, and really take control of your own fiscal destiny by starting a business there. And yet to really create that vibrancy, we're going to have more people who are interested and willing to create businesses in small towns.
I think the thing that is most encouraging to me is that I am hearing more people talk about these things. And slowly but surely, I think more of us are kind of coming into contact with each other. And technology has been a major player in allowing us to connect because, of course, I'm talking to you from Oklahoma. You're in Virginia. Our listeners are all over the world. But we're all able to connect online and make those make the connections between our own individual micropolitan futures or our own rural futures that each of us is able to learn from each other. And it's much less isolated feeling than I think it would have been before.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, technology has opened up so many more possibilities for all of us, because now you could choose to have a small business and still have, you don't necessarily have to only have customers where you are located, but you can have customers anywhere. And, you know, the internet and other technologies have just been so exciting, and I think will continue to be so because of its ability to help shape and redefine our physical geography. I think it's a very exciting time, and I think that my interest in rural urbanism is primarily also motivated because I love ruralism. I mean, as do most people, open spaces and preserving that sort of natural world, I think is also very important and will become increasingly more in our consciousness as we really look at the cost of our current, you know, suburban lifestyle, which is really the predominant building scene right now.
I think we're seeing some encouraging shifts away from everything has to be suburban. We're seeing people moving back to the urban centers and big cities, but we're also seeing, just like you're talking about, the micro cosmopolitan, the intersection between rural and urbanism. And I really love your phrase, human scale urbanism. I think that speaks to exactly what we're talking about. One of the quotes out of your manifesto that I think that everybody at Small Biz Survival can appreciate is, "The future requires the same strengths that we as small town people proudly possess." What are some of those strengths?
Well, I think that there's always been a sense, and I'm speaking because my father was an entrepreneur in a small city and actually still is an entrepreneur in a small city. And I think in order to be a business owner, no matter where you are, you have to be a certain amount of rugged independence and a willingness to work really hard. But I think small spaces, small cities in particular, for the last 60 years perhaps, have been really off the map. And so the people who have stayed or chosen to come back or find themselves there really have to be tough. And I think tough in a positive sense, meaning tough to survive, but also a feeling of we can do this, we're self-reliant people, we have the creative capacity and the desire to do so. And I think those are all things that in general business owners possess, but in particular you can find that with greater degree in places where perhaps others have written you off as, oh, well, why would you want to have a business there? You can't possibly have a business there, you know?
Yeah, I hear that kind of thing a lot of surprise. Why would you ever want to live in a small town? And I think after you've lived in a small town for a while, I think a lot of people come to realize that it's not just all about your neighbors knowing your business, but there are a lot of wonderful positive features about being in a small town.
Absolutely, yes.
And a lot of the things that people appreciate about cities do exist in the smaller cities, and 20,000 is kind of, to me, a bigger small city. My nearby big town is about 5,000 people, and I see a lot of wonderful urban characteristics there that can be built upon. So,
yeah. Well, one thing I love about my lifestyle here that I was able to preserve is the walkability factor. My husband and I use our vehicle perhaps once a week. Primarily, though, we are able to walk to everything that we do. And I think that is such an enviable and exciting thing to be able to do. And I think that's possible in a small-scale rural environment. You know, obviously, the cost of entry to purchase a house in this environment would be much less than a major city. And yet, I still have the benefit of being able to walk to restaurants, movie theaters, etc. And while that might not be the case for everyone, I think everyone can find a new appreciation for, again, the human scale infrastructure that was already there, that, you know, if you're fortunate enough to live somewhere where that hasn't been obliterated and destroyed, you really do have an asset that a lot of people just simply overlook because they've always seen it and they just don't appreciate it for the value that it can offer.
So you have a book coming up.
Yeah. Yes, I have my first book. It's called Urban Escapee, How to Ditch the Commute, Build a Business, and Revitalize Main Street. And I use our story, building our grocery store, as an example of some of the lessons that I've personally learned along the way, but I think are generally applicable to any business owners. And really who I'd like to talk to primarily are what I found through my research are called the rural rebounders. And that that was an interesting term to me, but what I discovered was that I am not part of some unexplained demographic. There are actually others like me who are aged 30 to 45 who once grew up in a small or rural area, went away, let's say, for college or work or whatever, and then have chosen to come back. And those people, as a demographic, interestingly enough, are more likely to build a business or buy a business. And that should be interesting to business owners in small areas who might be closing in on retirement or thinking about the legacy of what happens to my business. The good news is there are young people who are moving to small towns and they are interested in building businesses. So I think that's just exciting. And I hope that my book encourages more people to think of that as an opportunity.
And about when is the book expected to come out?
Later this year. There have been some changes with my publishing company, so it might be delayed a bit, but I'm hopeful that it will be later this year.
I understand how that goes. I'm in the process myself, and that date changes all the time. So, but I want to say that what you've talked about ties in very closely with the concept of true economic development for small towns. The bulk of what is going to happen with economic development in small towns in the future is about developing and supporting your entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And to target the rebounding group and to provide them with opportunities is of key importance. And so besides the folks that are listening that are currently in small towns, I know we have a lot of folks that listen who are in big cities and are thinking about small towns. So I think a lot of people who will identify very closely with the story that you've told and the story that you've lived. So,
well, thank you. And I'd like to add one thing, which is, you know, if you are living in a big city and you're looking at a small location, I think one of the best things that we were able to take advantage of was a community finance micro lender. And that was absolutely, absolutely vital at a certain point in our business. And if our community hadn't been willing to create that, that would have been really detrimental for our business's survival. And I think that's very interesting, too, as more microfinance community-supported financing becomes available, too.
Alternative finance is a huge topic, and we've reviewed the book by Amy Cortese on locavesting, and we have another book coming up called Local Dollars, Local Cents that we're getting ready to have a review of.
Awesome. I'm reading that right now, and I read Amy's book, and I loved it, so very exciting stuff.
I'm one of my campaigns this year is to get more communities to spur local investing in a variety of forms, because it ties into, you want to support your entrepreneurs, and it ties into a lot of the threads that make economic development happen in small towns and make businesses thrive. If you want more thriving businesses, spur more local investment. It's that simple.
Right.
Okay, I'll get off my soapbox now about local investing. And I do want to thank you for sharing your manifesto with us. We will put a link there for the Micropolitan Manifesto. I can assure you, though, if you put that into your favorite search engine, you will find Katie. I think you own the term Micropolitan Manifesto.
Well, awesome.
Thank you so much for taking time out to talk with us today.
Well, Becky, thanks again. I'm really excited and thrilled to be here. And, you know, I'm just excited to connect with other people who are equally interested in small towns, small business, and really reclaiming our human scale heritage. So anyway, great talking with you.
Thank you so much, Katie.
All right. Thanks again. Bye-bye.